But right now we have a big name guest in studio. We are pleased to say hello to our good friend, our longtime friend, Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly, who's been a little busy here lately as the Texas Monthly Top 50 Barbecue Joints list dropped just last week. Daniel, welcome to the Sweet Spot.
It's good to be with y'all.
Good to see you again. And okay, take us through the process. So this starts in January and it ends sometime in March.
It starts with a big meeting in the Texas Monthly offices where we kind of bring together our recruits from the staff who want to be on that tasting team. And that's back at the end of August, early September. And that's when we give out our marching orders for the different parts of the state that each of those people is going to cover in that first round. And then I get scores back from that first round. And I'm part of the first round as well, but get scores back from that first round in January. And that is like, all right, now I got 2 months to do all of like the double checking and triple checking that I need to do to finalize the 50, to finalize our honorable mentions, and to also finalize, of course, the top 10 and the number one and that whole ranking.
So to get on the tasting team, if you're a Texas Monthly reporter, how is that pretty cutthroat to try to get in that exclusive group?
You know, there were a whole lot more volunteers this time around than there have been in the past. We did cut it down a little bit. There were some people from the last list that I requested specifically not be on the tasting team, maybe some serial overscores. So it's definitely it's definitely a coveted position.
What is that vetting process like to get the tasters? Because I'm sure Sean, that's why Sean is having you up here. He wants to be one of your tasters.
Yeah, 2025.
Well, we
29.
You know, yeah, the next
one.
We
do have a few freelancers.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a few freelancers who come in who have their, you know, they've got trusted barbecue chops. I'm saying there's a chance. It'd work out a whole lot better if you started working for Texas Monthly.
Mm. Okay, well, it's kind of an issue.
But the vetting process, like, really it's about an education process. Like, I bring them all into a room. We have a big PowerPoint presentation. I describe to them what they're going to be looking for out there.
Got some film work going.
And then we've got barbecue from two different barbecue joints, from Franklin Barbecue and then from another barbecue joint, maybe on the other end of the spectrum. Uh-huh. And we sit down and discuss each individual cut, like what makes a great brisket, what makes a good rib, what makes a bad rib, bad sausage, and all that.
So you guys looked at 319 barbecue spots for this year's. How many did you go to that you tried personally?
Oh, 192, but who's counting?
Oh my gosh.
That was from like the beginning, that beginning of September. But you know, this is my full-time job as the barbecue editor. So it's like the 3.5 years in between is like just one big giant scouting mission.
So you're the big fish. You're the barbecue snob. You're well known throughout the state now because of
it's your Twitter handle.
This list in particular.
Yes.
Do you feel like, you know, everybody sort of parts when you walk in the barbecue restaurant? Like everybody understands, oh, Daniel's here.
I don't want people to part. I want to get in the back of the line and I want them to not notice me for as long as possible.
Just wearing like a mustache.
I don't go in disguise beard or anything. Actually, what I've learned is my best disguise is to just take off my hat and glasses.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And that's about the best disguise I can come up with. But yeah. I mean, I know that most of the places I'm going to go into, somebody is going to recognize me or at some point in the meal is going to recognize me or freak out that I posted something on Instagram or Twitter after I left and they didn't recognize me. So I always feel great when I know that I haven't been spotted and, usually that shows up on the platter, like the evidence of that.
So I guess that kind of answers my question. When you go to try these places out, they don't know you're coming. You show up just because it feels like you get a more genuine sample. If it's just a random day, you go in, you get what you want, and then you have your genuine opinion on it.
Right. I mean, it's as fair as we can make it. So we don't call ahead. We don't skip a line to get a barbecue platter. If we're judging that place for the top 50 list, we're going to go stand in that line. We're going to wait for the barbecue to be served. And and then the other thing is, like, I know that a lot of these people recognize me. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's a good chance I'm probably going to get their best. But they can't give me any more than their best. They can only do as good as they can do. And then that's another reason why that first round is really important, to get that opinion of somebody who's just on the Texas Monthly staff who is really probably not going to get recognized Although back in 2017 when we were doing it, I did walk into a barbecue joint and see Christian Wallace, who used to work for Texas Monthly and now works for Landman, the TV series. But anyway, his photo was up on the wall, and it was because someone had seen the region that he was supposed to cover for the top 50 list for Texas Monthly. So there is some there's some study that goes on in some of these pitmasters to figure things out.
Daniel Vaughn joining us in studio. He is the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly, just dropped the top 50 in the state. And your first list was, what, 2013, I want to say?
Yeah, that was the first time I started with Texas Monthly. And when that list dropped, the funny thing is I just was announced as barbecue editor, which meant I had almost no say in what was in that top 50 because I just got hired on. But, of course, new barbecue editor, new barbecue list, everyone just assumed that I had everything to do with it.
So I'm curious because I don't know if you want to call it a renaissance or an evolution. How's it changed from 2013 to what we have now? Because it feels like there's a lot of old guard restaurants that everybody has known for generations, but now you have all these newcomers that are maybe elevating the whole game.
Yeah, and it is a constant evolution, right? There's, first we saw a lot of these great places opening up in big cities, really starting with Franklin Barbecue, kind of kicking off that with our 2013 list. And, it's that high-quality meats, more inventive sides, just really a lot of care in putting out a really consistent product. And that was a newer thing for Texas Barbecue. You know, it used to be like you were just happy when you went into your favorite spot and they were on. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're having a good day today, or you'd be more easy to forgive them if they were having a bad day. And I think that's gone away for a lot of barbecue consumers. And so I think that shift to the cities from rural to the big cities, then barbecues has continued to get more expensive, more variety, bigger, more bountiful trays. And, I think that, we're starting to see that kind of make it into the small towns now. And that's shown in this list here with places like Red Bird Barbecue in Port Neches, Lavaca Barbecue in Port Lavaca, and of course, Burnt Bean, our number one spot, being in Seguin, which I think San Antonio is probably a little more willing to welcome into the fold, being 50 minutes away than maybe they were before the list came out.
So when you're checking out a barbecue spot, say it's some place you haven't been before, will you try what they're most known for, or will you kind of try what you do every place you go to? Do you have a normal type process, or is it something different for everywhere you go?
It's both of those things. Like, I want to try the brisket, the ribs, the sausage, and then I do want to see if they have a specialty or if they consider something a specialty, or if you've got a pork steak on the menu, I'm going to order it. I love pork steaks, and I wish I saw more of them. It's so much better to me than pulled pork.
So as far as brisket, it just feels like every place has really good brisket now. I mean, even like places that aren't on the list, not even honorable mentions, because people are making them at their house now. Like, it really feels like there's been a backyard renaissance too. And when you try to divvy up who's going to be in the top 10 or top 50, feels like brisket's sort of the minimum standard, right?
Yeah, it really is. It used to be that having a great brisket is something that could maybe propel you upwards in the top 50 or up towards the top of the rankings, having like really just incredible, one of a kind great brisket. But now it's like, if you don't have great brisket, you're really not going to make it because there are so many spots doing it. And like you said, there's plenty of backyard spots doing it too. Plenty of people doing it in the backyard, and we hear from them all about how much better their brisket is than any spot on our list.
And it feels like COVID did that because we were all at home, and that's when I bought my offset, and I decided, okay, I'm going to try my hand at this. And
yeah, the smoker industry certainly shot up quite well in 2020.
Do you barbecue and you take notes from these places you go to?
Yeah, I do cook in the backyard. I have quite a few smokers back there. I haven't done as much cooking of late, especially in the process of doing all the searching. But yeah, I've got an offset smoker back there. I don't bother smoking briskets. I eat so much great smoked brisket on the job, but rack of ribs, half chickens, things like that.
Have you thought of opening your own spot and then you can just put it in your top 50.
You can
50.
Review your own.
Yeah.
No, because,
like, oh, we got a new number one.
You know, first of all, not a chance because I see how much work goes into it. But the thing is, like, the way that barbecue has evolved, there are barbecue consultants out there who you can hire to come in. Like, they've worked for some of the top spots or maybe ran the top spots. and you can hire them to come in and sort of look over your menu and look over your processes. That is something that I'd be much more interested in doing if I ever, you know, stop being the barbecue editor. But that I think there's better, easier money in something like that.
I have way more questions. Do you have time to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right, it's Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly. More next on the Sweet Spot.
Sweet Spot, Sean Bass and David Mino. And we are talking to our good buddy, the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly, puts together the barbecue top 50 once every 4 years. It's a big deal. It's Daniel Vaughn in studio. And I want to get into your background a little bit more because you're from Ohio.
Yes.
You went to college in Tulane, New Orleans.
Roll
a couple places aren't.
Good food city.
Yeah. But not necessarily places known for barbecue. And then you move to Dallas and you just fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Like, how did you?
Peggy Sue Barbecue, man.
Peggy Sue, was that your first place?
Well, so actually my very first barbecue meal in Texas, was at the OU Texas game. Sorry, an OU fan bought my ticket, so it's the OU Texas game. and I went out, at halftime to go pick up a barbecue sandwich. It was, Smokey John's Barbecue. I didn't know who it was at the time. And I got a rib sandwich. I race back into the stadium, get to my seat, sit down, open it up, and I take a bite, and there's bones in it. I was like, these idiots left the bones in the rib sandwich. And it's like, oh no, that is a rib sandwich. Like, a rib sandwich is just, like, it's more of like a DFW thing, but it's, you know, a way to get three or four ribs between two slices of bread with plenty of barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah.
So a rib sandwich isn't meant to be eaten like a sandwich, but that's how little I knew about Texas barbecue. But yeah, moving to Dallas, Peggy Sue Barbecue was the first place that I was really sat down for a meal. Like, how do they get this sort of texture on a rib? Like,
that was your gateway drug.
Yeah. I mean, I'd had Applebee's ribs, you know, and those were just fine to me. And Chili's, of course, but, yeah.
The baby back.
yeah. So, I was just like really curious. How did you get this flavor? It doesn't taste grilled, but it's tender, but it's not falling apart. So I was enamored with that. And then, I got the 2003 issue of, the Texas Monthly Top 50, and that really piqued my curiosity of getting outside of DFW and being able to go try some of the barbecue outside of this region, because, you know, they were saying that none of the good stuff is in Dallas, that all the best stuff is in the Lockhart, Central Texas, Austin area. And so, I used that to start my exploration and, turned into, a blog and an obsession and a job. Mm-hmm.
Because you were an architect and you decided to leave that, I'm guessing, successful field. I mean, you can make a good living doing
Shout out to Good Fulton and Farrell, my former employee. But you can see a project I worked on from the street out here.
Okay.
Like the granite and the Gables apartment tower right over there. That I worked on that for like 4 years.
It's awesome.
And if you've ever parked in the Terminal D parking garage at DFW Airport, the best of all the parking garages. That was the first project I worked on as an architect. Yes.
Daniel Vaughn, barbecue editor of Texas Monthly, in studio with us. So this is a fun job, obviously. You travel around our great state. You get to meet a lot of interesting people, different personalities. But what's the downside? What's the blowback, especially after this big list comes out?
Double XL. for everything I wear.
Sure.
There's that downside. You know, a lot of it is the amount of time that I've done this job. You create these relationships, right? I'm not your sort of regular food critic, your traditional like newspaper food critic who stays anonymous and doesn't interact with these people. We throw a barbecue festival every year. We do a bunch of barbecue events. Like, I know these people. And so, you know, I think anybody who's in a position like mine goes into it with some sort of bias. Everybody has a bias. I think some of mine are a little stronger because I know these people and their stories, and I have a history with maybe a particular restaurant too. And so, you know, getting rid of those biases and putting them to the back burner and looking just at the barbecue. When we're putting a list like this together, that's really the toughest part. You know, I get a lot of blowback from readers and from different pitmasters about whether they're on the list or not, and you know, that's certainly something that you know, affects me in that first week or so. But beyond that, I mean, the readers having strong opinions about barbecue is part of the reason I have this job. It's part of the reason anybody wants to read this list, is because if everyone agreed on who the top 50 should be, nobody would care that there's a top 50 list.
That's why we have jobs too.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're opinion based, that's kind of what it is.
So number one in 2025 was Burnt Bean, Co. and Seguin. Was that a clear-cut number one, or was there debate saying, hey, it should be Goldie's or something else? Or were they, everybody thinking, okay, Burnt Bean is number one?
Yeah, I mean, Goldie's being number one in the 2021 mm-hmm. list certainly, I mean, puts them in contention. Like, they're on top of mind. Like, how are they going to, you know, stack up against these places 4 years later? But, you know, I think last time around when we had Goldie's at number one, Interstellar at number two, I think both of those were bigger surprises to our readership and maybe bigger surprises to me as well, because really those places rose to the top during our search. These other places, you know, Burnt Bean, Leroy and Lewis, and then, of course, Goldie's being number three, like, these were all known quantities going into this. Like, we all knew they were hopeful. All the people who love barbecue in Texas certainly knew that these places made great barbecue, and like, there are a lot of different folks who came out with the right answer you know, when they were trying to predict who the number one was going to be. So Burnt Bean has been doing really great work for a while now. And they were number four on our list previously. And then Leroy and Lewis, I mean, they just won a Michelin star back in November. One of four barbecue joints in the state to win a Michelin star.
I'm so glad they're doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's
really cool.
We don't have Michelin star. We used to not have Michelin stars here. And now some of our best food gets its just due.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that they weren't huge surprises, who's at the top of the list. But, you know, Burnt Bean is that one place that I've never had anything less than an incredible meal there. And when I went with a few barbecue friends, went down to F1 weekend and went with a few barbecue friends to Seguin twice that weekend, because it was only, you know, it's only like, I don't know, 45 minutes away from mm-hmm. the track. And so they were with me at that time just saying, like, your search is over. It's done. This place is number one. Like, this is the best barbecue I've ever eaten. They were from out of state, and so they were rather impressed. And, yeah, that just continued.
So as far as being in the top 10 or top 50, you know, every few cycles, do you find some of these places get a little complacent with their product? Like, maybe they're just coasting on reputation. I don't want you to name names, but I'm just curious because it feels like it's a – pretty diverse list every 4 years.
Yeah, there is a lot of turnover every time. There were, I think, 23 new spots on the list this time. In 2021, there were 29 new spots. It's usually around half of the list that turns over. And I don't know if it's complacency, but I do know that there are places that reach the top 50 and they feel like that was a big enough accomplishment for them. And they, you know, maybe change their business model or are able to capitalize off of it financially. And, you know, maybe making the top 50 again isn't as important to them as, you know, servicing their much larger customer base that they have after the list comes out.
I saw you on with, this was in 2021 after the top 50 came out. You're on with Dan Patrick. And
yeah.
He brought up something Nick Wright said about you. And you remember this. He was pretty much bashing Texas barbecue for whatever. He's a Kansas City guy, saying Kansas City barbecue is the best. How would you describe Texas barbecue to someone that's hasn't had it, someone that's a fan of either Carolina or Kansas City barbecue?
Yeah. Well, so Carolina barbecue is all about the pig, right? So Western North Carolina, the Piedmont, is all about pork shoulder. Eastern North Carolina is all about whole hog barbecue. And there's vinegar sauce on the eastern side. Western side's vinegar sauce with a little bit of ketchup in it, too. So mm-hmm. it's the vinegar state. Mm-hmm. It's the vinegar pork state. You get to Memphis, and it's more about the ribs and more about the chopped pork.
Pretty sweet too in Memphis.
And yeah, sweet sauces, but also that Memphis dry rub, which, sometimes people confuse with a dry rub that is pre-applied, right? So most barbecue these days is cooked with a rub applied and then you smoke it. Memphis barbecue, they cook it all the way through and right before they're going to serve it, they sprinkle a dry rub on top. Actually some of my favorite dry rub Memphis style ribs are in Nashville at Peg Leg Porker, but, yeah, anyway, that's Memphis style. And then you get to Kansas City, and Kansas City and Texas have a lot of similarities. A lot of variety in the barbecue, mm-hmm. right? There's beef barbecue in both, so they serve brisket in Kansas City. Sausages to a degree. Pulled pork is a much bigger deal in Kansas City, but ribs and that sweet sauce on the ribs.
Yep.
So the biggest difference between Texas and Kansas City is that we do all those things, we just do them all so much better. And, you know, you don't have to ask me, like, Tyler Harp of Harp Barbecue in Kansas City. I wrote about how terrible Kansas City brisket is. And a lot of that reason is because of their burn ends. They take the fatty part off. They make all the burn ends with that.
Right.
And so nobody who wants sliced brisket is left with fatty brisket. It's all burn ends. Anyway, he was mad about an article I wrote. He came to Texas with his dad. He ate all over Central Texas. He's like, oh my God, what have I been missing all my life? Goes back to Kansas City and opens up a Texas-style barbecue joint to basically spread the word to the Kansas City faithful that, you know, come to Harp Barbecue and you can get my version of Texas-style barbecue, which I think you're going to like our brisket better. And, it is better. It's thicker sliced. It's juicier. It's got a nice bark on it. Kansas City barbecue sliced pretty thin. And, for anybody like a Nick Wright who, believes that Kansas City barbecue.
It's just Kansas City people. It's the barbecue argument.
It's not just Kansas City. It's Kansas City people who have not been to Texas to eat the best of the barbecue that we have. Because anybody I know who's eaten all those different styles around, it's just obvious. I mean, we did a list, of the 50 best Texas style barbecue joints outside of Texas last year. That was the United States of Texas barbecue. Talk about a road trip. I did that one alone. And you know, that just showed like how popular Texas barbecue has become outside.
How far out are we talking?
Oh, I mean, Seattle.
Really?
To Orlando, Boston. That wasn't so good.
Boston barbecue.
Yeah. But
some,
you know,
chowder.
Up in New York, like hometown barbecue, in New York City. So yeah, I mean, really great barbecue in pretty much every corner down in San Diego.
So Goldie's is number three.
Goldie's is number
still
three.
Amazing. But as far as the North Texas / DFW representation, maybe some were surprised not so many rated so high this time. Why do you think that is?
I mean, there's still, I mean, I think what you'll actually see is that for the Dallas area, we've got Slow Bone, got Smokey Joe's,
some of my favorite,
and we've got Cadillac Barbecue. And guess what we had in the Dallas area last time around? Those three. And to me, it isn't that Dallas barbecue's that those places are getting any worse. It's that I really wish there was some new blood in Dallas. We get lots of new barbecue joints opening up in the Fort Worth area, some in the mid-cities as well. And it just doesn't seem to happen so much in Dallas. I mean, we have that new location of Hurtado Barbecue down near the Farmer's Market, which they do great work down there. But as far as like a new and exciting barbecue joint, just Dallas doesn't seem to be attracting them right now.
So when are you going to detox? Is there a level of detox after 3 months of just brisket and
Honestly, my detox, like the worst part about this whole list, about putting this whole list out, is we finalized this list because of print, you know, our print schedule on March 3rd, and then we released it on May 27th. So that was my, that was my downtime.
So this is the gap.
So now I'm working on our 25 best new barbecue joint list for 2027. I already made a few road trips for that. I'll make, I got a 3-day trip down to Austin starting tomorrow. So yeah. There's a lot more barbecue out there to eat.
What's the most amount of barbecue you've eaten in one day? Do you ever do like two or three a day?
I didn't like weigh myself before or after, but I think 10 barbecue joints is the most I've been to.
Holy smokes.
10 meals?
But hold on. That the 10 barbecue joints is only because there was a lot of bad ones in there, so you don't have to eat very much of it, right? You know, you can give the barbecue sort of as much as it owes you. Like, you can see what you should or shouldn't be eating a lot of. But for like the top 50, if I'm looking at a top 10 barbecue joints, like eating at three spots, that's a lot. Cause I got to try a huge variety on that menu of the sides, the desserts, and all the meats. So yeah, three is about my limit if I'm looking seriously at a place for like the top 10.
What's the expense bill the Texas Monthly has to,
oh my God, my expense reports. My expense reports were rough. I mean, it's definitely in the thousands.
Well, it's not just you. It's the team of 25, right?
It's like norms.
You know, we reimburse all of those tasters as they go around, for their mileage, you know, for any flights that might be necessary and for any of the barbecue. And for the barbecue alone, just during the search, which is about a 6-7 month period, was $26,000.
Well, Daniel, your job is fascinating. We are all envious of you. You've forged your own path, and you are now a legend in this state, talking about some of the best food on earth. Thanks for the time, my friend.
Thank you all.
It was great to see you. That's Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly. Check out his work, Texas Monthly, and